Praise the Lord. Amen. It's wonderful to worship, friends. He deserves the glory. He's a good, good Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. A four-year-old boy, Jason, was visiting his grandparents. Grandpa was sitting in his study, reading intently. Jason walked in carrying a peach, said something Grandpa didn't quite catch, and handed the peach to Grandpa. And thinking that his wife sent him a snack, Grandpa took it and ate it. And just as he swallowed the last bite, Jason, with his lip quivering, said, "But Grandpa, I didn't want you to eat it. I just wanted you to help me take the worm out." Friends, the point I want to make is this. We all need help in life. In fact, there are some things that we just can't handle by ourselves. It might be that as you sit here today, you are now facing deep valleys in your life, difficult times, struggles, temptations, and you see no solution to your needs. Maybe you look for help in different places. You would like to escape somewhere. You live in fear of the future. You are continuously troubled in your heart. Maybe you try to find someone you can rely on, who can give you help, who can stay with you and give you protection and comfort. You need someone to guard your body and your soul, to stand powerful between you and your enemies, and to enable and is able to protect you day and night. Well, friends, the question is, where do you turn when you are in trouble? When life hits you hard, where do you go to for help? What sustains you in the darkest hours? Life has got enough trouble. You don't have to go look for it. It just comes upon us. A soldier in the Second World War, as bullets were flying past him, he jumped into a foxhole. And in that foxhole, he was laying low as the bullets kept going. And he felt in the sand a metal object. And he looked, and it was a crucifix. It was a cross. And he held it in his hand. And just then, another person came flying into that foxhole and landed right next to him as the bullets flew over their heads. When the soldier got a chance to look, he saw that the new companion in the foxhole was the army chaplain. And holding on the crucifix, the soldier called out, "I'm glad to see you here. How do you work this thing?" But friends, listen. Listen, friend. I've got good news for today. God is here. Amen. God is here. He is here for you and me. In him, we find much blessings and comforts for the troubles we have in our hearts. David certainly knew this. David knew this, and we're just going to, Psalm 9, verse 9, David said, "The Lord will also be the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. In Psalm 32, verse 7, he said, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me when trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." In Psalm 34, verse 4, he said, "I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Psalm 34, verse 17 and 9 to 19. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Amen. Businessman Isaac Singer, you know him, he's famous for his sewing machine. He once confessed, "I only pray when I'm in trouble, but I'm in trouble most of the time, so I pray all the time." Friends, is it not true that the Word of God is powerful? Is it not true that all God's promises are yea and amen? Is it not true that God is an awesome God? Eh? Who is like him? Who can God like him? Who is loving as he is? The Bible is full of promises that he will protect, he will guard, he will keep, he'll send his angels to encamp around those who fear the Lord. He is the glory and the lifter of our heads. The author of Psalm 121, I know some people just say David's not David. The author of Psalm 121 demonstrates in a beautiful poetic way that there is no one better than our God. There's no one who can help us more than our God. And our text offers some reassurance and brings us from fear to faith, from fear to faith. Let's look at Psalm 121, friends. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Isn't that a lovely passage, friends? Allow me to give you some background to this passage. It is called the Song of Ascents. Ascents. It is called the Song of Ascents. Or in the original Hebrew, it is a song for the journey to a high place. It is a song for a journey to a high place. That's it. It was sung by the Israelites probably over and over and over again as they made their way, their annual pilgrimage to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. This was a long and treacherous trip. You see, the pilgrims going up to the temple in Jerusalem were vulnerable to attacks from robbers and animals, and they were in constant risk of falling off these high places as they made their way up to Jerusalem. So they would sing this song. Psalm 121 was written as a reminder of how God protects in times of trouble. The psalm is divided into two parts. The first part in verse 1 and 2 talks about the believers looking up to the Lord, and verses 3 to 8 describes the Lord looking out for the believers. You see that? 1 and 2, believers looking up to the Lord, and 3 to 8, the Lord looking out for the believers. The term finders keepers comes to mind. When you find the Lord, he keeps you. And so in Psalm 121, I must say, when I was a little fellow, teenager, I got saved and we were involved in the church and we only read one version of the Bible, that was the King James Version. And we memorized it. On many occasions, I would hear people say, "Hey, brother, look up to the hills, man. From whence comes your help?" Well, the King James Version causes many to misunderstand the author's intent. We picture someone being inspired by the beautiful mountain range and finding strength in it. It's like, say, "Hey, guys, you're down in the dump, go to Banff. Look to the hills." No. Let's read it in the King James Version. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Notice the period. In South Africa, we call it the full stop. Notice the full stop. And yet, the hills are exactly where the psalmist does not find help. It is in the hills that danger lurks. The hills are being attacked by criminals. In the hills that we are being attacked by wild animals. It's in the hills that we can fall and slip and die. The psalmist actually looks higher than the hills. He looks higher than the hills. And so in the New International Version and the New King James Version correctly puts it in the form of a question. Now we're going to put it up. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? From whence comes my..." Notice the question mark. This is the old school teacher coming out there. I'm having fun with this. "From whence comes my help?" My help comes from the Lord. In other words, friends, this is a rhetorical question. And let's go back to high school English. You know what's a rhetorical question? A rhetorical question does not need an answer. A rhetorical question is a question you ask to make a point. It doesn't need an answer. The question is, "From whence comes my help?" Answer: "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Do you see that? He asks a question, but he gives the answer. That's a rhetorical question. Friends, then our one name for God, and I want to go back to it now in September, the names of God. We haven't done this one. Is El Shaddai. El Shaddai means God Almighty. Or another way of putting it is El Shaddai, the Most High God, similar to Elohim, the Creator God. My help comes from El Shaddai. He is above all others. He is our higher power. He is our Most High God. He is God Almighty. This is what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist considered these options. Back in Bible times, friends, pagan shrines were built on hilltops. People were drawn to these places with the false promise of magic and spells and the immoral practices of cultic prostitution. The false god of these shrines offered no help and protection. And therefore, the psalmist says, hey, here's the mountaintop. I look past the mountaintop. I look past those shrines because my help comes not from there. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. Everybody say, like, I don't know. I'm telling you, brother. Friends, don't look to the hills. Come on. Don't accept any substitutes. Listen what Jeremiah 3, verse 23 says. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. And from the multitude of mountains, only in the Lord our God can Israel ever find her help and her salvation. You see that, friends? Don't go for a substitute. Say, you know what? I'll go try that out. No. In vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from a multitude of mountains. Only in the Lord our God can Israel and you and I ever find help and salvation. But here is how we sometimes differ, friends. Most of us are content. Listen carefully, brother. Most of us are content to live with the Lord on the periphery of our lives, on the back burner. And then when we're faced with troubles and turmoil, or we have a pain or we have a need, we first go to our resources. I'll go to the bank and sort this one out. Okay? We first go to our abilities and our education and our good looks, and we go to our friends for relief. And when they can't help, we start to worry. And when we can barely make it, we throw out a popcorn prayer. Help me, Lord. But that isn't how we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to live lives of daily trust, obedience, worship, and love. So that when we are faced with troubles, friends, our first response won't be to look down in fear or to look around for a way of escape, but to look up to the Lord, friends, our help. Our help is heavenward, not earthbound. Isaiah 55, verse 6 encourages us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And so the psalmist question in verse 1 is asked expecting a negative answer, not the hills or anywhere else. Instead, look for help in the only place, friends, where real help can be had, the Lord who made heaven and earth. Another way of putting it is the Lord who made everything. You see, pleasure pearls, I'm not talking about medication. Pleasure, pearls, possession, position are not capable of helping you. There are ways to drowning our sorrows. But have you noticed our sorrows know how to swim? Huh? They'll drown the sorrow. Next minute's back. Everywhere else you turn besides the Lord, you are only going to false makeshift temporary saviors. Instead, our help comes from the Lord. Amen. El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Most High God who made heaven and earth. Some of you are saying, wow, that sounds awesome, but you don't know what I'm going through. But God knows. You say your situation's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Friends, and now we notice the response. When we, as born again, spirit-filled, blood-washed, united to Christ by faith, when we look to the Lord for help, He responds to look out for us. The original Hebrew text of this psalm uses the same word over and over to describe God's help and protection. And that word is the Hebrew word shama. I want to talk our whole sermon about that word, shama. It's used 6 times in 6 verses, between verse 3 and 8. It means to watch over. It means to keep, to protect, to preserve. And in the next 6 verses, we find this word shama coming up all the time. The point here is that with God looking out for you, friends, you have absolutely nothing to fear. The psalmist goes on to describe several characteristics of the Lord. First characteristic of God is in verse 3a. He will not allow your foot to be moved. And this is not just talking about your feet in terms of a geographical place. This is a poetic way, friends, of describing that the Lord taking an active role in ordering the details of your life. When it says He will not allow your foot to be moved, He's not talking about, well, I'm standing here behind the pulpit and my feet will move. No. But it's God's active way of ordering the details of our lives. Listen, David describes the same thing in Psalm 23, 1, 2, and 3. I mentioned it last week. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now listen how he gets active, how the Lord gets active in David's life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And in Psalm 37, verse 23, the psalmist says, "The steps of a good man," another version says, "the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord." Do you see that, friends? Second characteristic that of God, that he is never off duty, that He watches over His people, and He never sleeps nor slumbers. Verse 3b, "He who keeps you will not slumber." This is another poetic way, friends, of describing God's never failing vigilance. There's never a moment when God dozes off and misses that thing that's happening in your life. He never opens his eyes and says, oops, I didn't see that one coming. He is 100% vigilant for what's happening in your life, friends. Isn't that lovely? There will never be a time when you are completely alone, deprived of help, or without his care. The third characteristic of God is that he himself is our shade, our shelter, our shield. Verse 5 and 6 says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. This communicates, friends, 24 hours complete protection from ultimate harm. God is watching you 24 hours a day. Even when you're sleeping. Yes, thank you, Lord. Every moment of every day. Doesn't that talk about care? Okay. Doesn't that talk about care, friends? David does the same in Psalm 139 when attempting to convey God's total protection and the impossibility of escaping God's presence. He said in Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8. I love this one. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there too. You see that? And then lastly, notice the fourth characteristic of God's guidance and protection and provision. It lasts throughout this life. Listen, it lasts throughout this life. In fact, it never fails. It lasts throughout this life and into the next. Psalm 121, verse 8 of our text. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Isn't that lovely, friends? God's watchful care is for wherever we go and whatever we do, both now and forever. David says in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. During the Second World War, World War II, a U.S. Marine was separated from his unit on a Pacific island. The fighting had been intense, and in the smoke and crossfire, he had lost touch with the rest of his comrades, the rest of his group. Alone in the jungle, he could hear the enemy soldiers coming in his direction. And scrambling for cover, he found his way up a high ridge to several small caves in a rock. Quickly, he crawled inside one of the caves. Although safe for a moment, he realized that once the enemy soldiers looking for him swept up the ridge, they would quickly search all the caves and he would be killed. As he waited, he prayed, Lord, if it is your will, please protect me. Whatever your will, though, I love you and I trust you. Amen. And after praying, he laid quietly listening for the enemy as they drew close. He thought, well, I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out of this one. Then he saw a spider begin to build a web over the front of the cave. As he watched, listening for the enemy, searching for him, all the while, the spider layered strand after strand of web across the opening of the cave. Ah, he thought, what I need is a brick wall, but the Lord has sent me a spider web. The Lord has a sense of humor. As the enemy drew closer, he watched from the darkness of his hideout, and he could see them searching one cave after another. And as they came to his, he got ready to make his last stand. And to his amazement, however, after glancing in the direction of his cave, they moved on. Suddenly, he realized that the spider web over the entrance of his cave looked as if no one had entered it for quite a while. Lord, forgive me, he prayed. I've forgotten that in you, a spider web is stronger than a brick wall. It's ultimately, it's amazing, let me say, it's amazing how the Lord works at times to take care of his children here on earth. Just a few verses. Start with Job 10, 12. You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence watched over my spirit. Psalm 1, verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Another version says the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 142, verse 3. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my ways. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Psalm 145, verse 20. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Let's go back to our text now. And in Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. The psalmist says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forever. Friends, someone asked the Greek conqueror, Alexander the Great, how was he able to sleep so soundly, surrounded by constant danger? And he pointed to his fellow faithful god, Parmenio. He says, I can sleep soundly because Parmenio is watching. How much more confidence, friends, may we have then? How much less anxiety may we have, friends, being persuaded that God, our faithful God, is watching? Friends, being a Christian, of course, doesn't mean we have a magic immunity from the cares and concerns of life. It doesn't mean because you're a Christian, everything is now rosy. No problems, right? It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that we don't have to face them alone. Amen? We don't have to face them alone. That the one who inhabits eternity is there to help us in our trials. We have nothing to be afraid of. I read the story, I shared it with you a few years ago, about the American Indians, the American First Nation people. They had a unique practice of training young braves. On the night of the boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting and scouting and fishing and various skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family or his tribe. But on this night, on the night of his 13th birthday, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off his blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal getting ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke, and the first rays of sunshine entered into the interior of the forest. And looking around, the boy saw flowers and trees and the outline of a path. And then, surprised, he saw a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night long, just like our father. Amen. In conclusion, we can depend on God to be there, friends, for us in a time of trouble, in whatever is going on in our lives. He will keep us because he loves us and cares for us. The man took his son, a little son, to the top of a mountain, and he looked in every direction. See, north, south, west, and east, he pointed. He said to his son, God's love is as big as all of this. And the little boy looked at his dad and said, just think, Dad, we are right in the middle of it all. God is a great God, and his love is a great love, and we are in the middle of it all. Amen. When your back is against the wall, friends, don't look down in fear. Don't look around for a quick fix or a way to escape. Look up. The holy, omnipotent God of all creation is watching, helping, guiding, providing, and protecting. It is just precisely here, at this point, that despite our circumstances, that genuine Christian living begins. Cast all your cares upon him. Refuse to be overwhelmed by anxiety. That the pilgrimage of confident, spirit-filled Christians begins. It is here that confidence in ourselves ends and total confidence in God begins. A farmer once printed the words, huge words, God is love, on his weather vane. Someone asked the farmer if he meant that God was fickle as the wind. And the farmer replied, no, I mean that God is love whichever way the wind blows. Regardless of how, friends, the wind blows on you, good, bad, or otherwise, God is love. He loves you no matter what. He loves you in good times and in bad times. You can trust him to be there for you, to be the source of strength and your great provider. Give God your trials, your fears, your anxieties. Give them to God. And then step out of the way. I was praying for a lady after ministering in Saskatoon once. The Lord told me, well, she was crying just streaks. I said, the Lord says, you keep calling upon me for your son. And she cried even louder. The Lord said, I heard your prayer, but give me a chance. Step out of the way. One man put it right, he said, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered, no one was there. Fear knocked at your door. Faith answered, no one was there. So friends, when you are facing all kinds of dangers and trials and troubles, remind yourself where help comes from. Let's all say that together. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's say that again. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer.